This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
46 minutes past 8 a.m. on this Thursday, January 18th. I'm Tan Chung Han. With me, Joyce Goh and Brian Fernandez, taking a look at the business headlines right now. Let's start with Green Packet. They are set to announce that it has secured a 300 million ringgit contract to supply set-top boxes to MyTV Broadcasting. MyTV being the company that it's spearheading the national digital terrestrial television rollout, DTT. Essentially, it's like still free-to-air waves, like terrestrial signals, but in digital form, right?
Yeah, so according to the Age Financial Daily story, the contract was awarded directly to Green Packet, which was contracted to develop the decoder and supply 4.2 million units to MyTV.
Yeah, so who actually is Green Packet? It's listed on Bursa since 2005. It provides carrier-grade mobile data solutions, 4G devices supporting WiMAX and Wi-Fi and LTE technologies. So recall back in 2014, Green Packet sold a 57% stake in its subsidiary P1 to Telekom Malaysia, which is now known as Weebe. It still owns a 19% stake. Mm-hmm. Now, the largest shareholder in Green Packet remains the company's founder, Puan Chan Cheong, better known as CC Puan in the tech space, and he has a 30% stake in the business.
Yeah, yes. And I was actually looking at the earnings for Green Packet. So between 2008 to 2016, these guys have posted net losses for 7 out of those 9 years. In fact, for the first 3 quarters of 2017, these guys have been posting net losses
still
as well.
Still in the red.
Yeah, still in the red. I mean, to be fair, they had 2 years of net profits between 2008 and 2016.
Okay.
But still, yeah, it's a loss-making company. Question here is whether or not this whole DTT thing with the set-top boxes, that will be the catalyst for them to return to profitability.
Yeah. Speaking of DTT, in June last year, Prime Minister Dato Sri Najib Razak announced the migration towards digital broadcast, which comes under the National Digitization Blueprint. So MyTV had been selected back in 2014, beating other telco companies like Redtone, iMedia Broadcasting Solutions, Sundaran Berhad, and they're going to... MyTV is supposed to migrate the national broadcasting system from analog to digital this year.
Yeah, so MyTV is controlled by Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar Al-Bukhari through his company Puncak Semangat, which is the operator of MyTV. MyTV's role is to be the infrastructure developer and the sole provider of MyFreeView for a 30-year period. So MyFreeView is actually the title given to the new DTT service.
Right. And I remember when it was announced, I think back in 2014, right, that Puncak Semangat was going to get the deal, there were many questions being asked, well, who are these guys? You know, who's Puncak Semangat? You would think that perhaps entities with prior broadcasting experience with the hardware side, they would be primed to take on this role, but instead it was given to Puncak Semangat. Well, so we know that it's a unit under Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar. Something else, just an anecdotal side note here. This whole DTT thing seems to be following me wherever I go. I was in the States when this happened. Same thing when I was in Australia. They did the whole transition thing. Mm. Yeah. And here we are in Malaysia.
Ahead of the curve always. Huh?
I know, yeah. It's like, what? And so I understand from my sources that MyTV believes their rollout of this DTT program is still on track for this year. Now, we also spoke to the CEO of MyTV, Michael Chan, on the Breakfast Grill some 6 months ago. Actually, our colleague Chuang did that. And at that time, one of the biggest concerns was who will finance this rollout. So here's an excerpt of the interview with Chuang and Michael Chan.
Worst case, and we are as business people, right? As worst case scenario, if the blue sky scenario does not transpire, will the Malaysian ultimately have to pay for this migration, do you think?
We have to look at it from a very different perspective. Number one, I can't quite comment on the figures because, you know, we are a private company and we don't disclose those kinds of information.
Well, I'll do it for you because the number of units subsidized are 4.2 million, I think, under BRIM. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you've got the retail price, which is about 317 ringgit. Then the outlay for the decoders, which is just over a billion ringgit. Then you've also got an agreement with Telekom Malaysia, which is about 915 million ringgit. So 2.25 billion ringgit in totality.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say it's slightly less than that, but it's something that the shareholders have looked at and the shareholders have committed. You know, we're on track now, Chuang, and that means that we've funded all this from internal sources. You know, yes, you know, we're not shying away from the fact that we'd love to go and get a facility from a bank. But even if that doesn't happen, we will complete this project. It will come.
So that was an excerpt from the Breakfast Grill some 6 months ago between Kus Chuang and MyTV CEO Michael Chan. So, yeah, questions around the financing and also who the initial target group will be for this DTT rollout. And we understand, Brian, that it'll be the B40 households, right?
Yeah, so basically 4.2 million BRIM recipients who essentially households that receive BRIM will be entitled to these special MyTV decoders, which are supposed to be installed by June 2018. And analog TV is supposed to be shut down at that point of time. Now, that's only a few months away. Apparently, the original plan was MyTV would pay for 2 million units while the government will foot the bill for the rest of it. So, and the people like us will have to pay for those decoders ourselves.
Well, that's assuming you still want to watch TV. You guys still watch TV?
I don't.
Joyce?
So what do y'all do?
Well, we
listen to radio.
Listen to radio, only BFM 89.9, and check out our stuff online. Yeah,
yeah, and also I think a lot of people have gone to consuming over the phone. I mean, we consume videos
the
and stuff.
Yeah, there's the OTT consumption as well that has come on. Yeah, but then this MyTV thing, it has been delayed. I remember covering this in 2015. At that time, it was supposed to be rolled out by 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And now we're looking at, in June 2016, some people will get it already and all that. Coming back to the decoders, the BRIM recipients will get it free, but other people, if you want to get it, you can go and buy it.
Right.
It's available.
If you still want to watch TV. But still, there are some hurdles, right, Brian, in terms of the rollout of MyTV?
Yeah, one of the significant hurdles is literally the fixing of the fees. So previously, the company wanted to charge 25 million for each high-definition channel that wanted to broadcast through them, or 12 million for one standard-definition channel, so which industry players felt was too expensive.
Yeah, I remember covering this story and they were complaining, the industry players saying it's too expensive because you just pay for the fee, let's say 25 million ringgit for one channel, just the fee. What about your content? Your staff costs to fill the whole 24-hour kind of content on this channel, you still need extra income, extra cost on that, right?
Yeah, on top of that, the existing media guys, they're already hurting. Look at Media Prima, look at The Star, right? You know, on top of that, you want them to pay about up to 25 million for one HD channel.
Well,
it's like, how are they going to recoup those investments? ADX is also falling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, last June, MyTV said that it will waive the fees for free-to-air broadcasters until June this year as they look at revising the business model. That time, they told The Edge that they're looking to bring it down to between 8 million to 18 million.
Yeah, now
around
Sorry,
8 million and 18 million.
The other thing is also the fact that now, you need this new setup box in your household. What happened if you don't have, if you're, say, a B40 household, you don't have a digital-ready television. Yours is an old television. That's also going to be another significant challenge in terms of execution.
Mm.
The other thing is also execution has been delayed, as we just mentioned so many times. So are they going to be able to do that June 2018 deadline? That's the million-dollar question.
According
right now.
According to Hans Source, yes.
So delayed, but apparently still on track. I don't know how those two meet, but yeah, we'll just take it at face value for now then. I also have to wonder whether or not this will eat into market share for Astro. How much of a threat is this for Astro, though?
It depends on the content. What's going to be on MyTV? I think as of now, we know it's just a couple of channels because, you know, it's aside from cost, it's also content, right, as a user?
Okay, let's move right along to the education space. We've got Equity National, or Equinas. They have sold off its entire stake in Tenby Education Group. They sold it to a UK company called International Schools Partnership. Now, the timing is quite interesting because this comes on the back of its sale of Arpit Group just last week.
Yes, so Equinas has been looking to monetize its assets in its Ilmu Education Group. That's its holding company where it holds all its education assets. They've been trying to do that for quite some time now. Now, as you mentioned, Han, they sold their entire stake in Arpit Group last week. For 725 million. They sold it to Arpit's management and also a Singapore private equity firm, KV Asia Capital. Now, Equinas bought into Arpit Group in two tranches in 2011 and 2016 for a total of 347 million. from Sapura Resources.
So back to this 10B deal, the price was not disclosed, but Equinas did say that it generated a positive internal rate of return of 45.7%. So this with a multiple of 2.5 times the capital invested, including dividends received. Compared to Upit deal, I think it generated an internal rate of return of 22.3%.
Right.
Yeah, so the 10B deal actually marks Equinas's 8th divestment. So far, it's realized proceeds of well over R1 billion, including the partial divestment of Icon Offshore.
Right, so 8th divestment across various sectors, yeah. Right? Okay, but these two specifically in the education sector. So this marks an interesting turn of events, given that they have been investing in the education sector since 2011. I think investing about R650 million, right?
Yes, that's right. And in addition to these two divestments, they also had things like Cosmo Point College in the group, KL Metropolitan University College as well. But then again, not all the educational investments have been doing well. In fact, the numbers, enrollment numbers were falling.
Yeah, look at Ilmu Group facing poor enrollment numbers. At its peak of 2014, Ilmu had 35,608 students. Enrollment dropped 6% to like over just 32,000 students in FY 2016, right? So, and remember, Equinas was looking to IPO the Ilmu business, but in May last year, I think they changed their strategy to say that they felt that they could not get the right valuation for the IPO. So now it's more of selling the businesses individually, right?
Yeah, which they've done, getting over 40% for 10B, over 20% for IRR. Yeah.
Well, I wonder what they're going to do with the money.
Well, the thing is, they're a private equity firm. They may also be coming to a point, Joyce, where they're reaching the end of the life of the fund. They actually have to monetize the investments and then close the fund. So this may be the push because if you recall, the education investment started in 2011. Mm-hmm. So now we're coming to the 7th year, essentially. That's about right. Normally, private equity firms look at, 6, 7, 8 year time horizon.
Yeah, but it can't be just about the timeline, right? You also have to look whether or not you get the returns that you want. Because if you're not getting the returns, then...
Well, 40% and 20% for Upit.
Yeah, but also industry sources say that these are the two that have been doing well. Mm. The other investments such as Cosmo Point is not doing so well.
Okay.
That was part of the challenges in terms of trying to IPO the whole education business.
Mm. All right. So that is the story on Equinas. And we know that while they are divesting, other people have been going into the education business. We had Kazana buying that 3% stake in GEMS Education, etc. So it's going to be quite a saturated market, not just in Malaysia, but it appears in many parts of the global education sector as well. But as Equinas divests, you've got JM Education is looking to get listed on the LEAP market. So perhaps investors are seeing some potential for other players. It's almost 59 minutes past 8 a.m. right now. We've got the 9 a.m. news coming up shortly. And after that, we'll take a look at the local bourse right here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.